From WNIJ, this is another edition of Under Rocks. I'm Spencer Tritt.
And I'm Susan Stevens.
And so today we're doing another story about a place that's kind of near and dear to us, Sue. That's the Laredo Taft campus out in Oregon, Illinois.
Yeah, we've visited it a few times and we've got some updates for everyone.
So the first time we were there, just some background for people, the first time we were there was to learn about the background. The name Laredo Taft comes from the artist. We were looking at some sculptures. It started as an artist colony, then became NIU's campus for outdoor education, mostly.
Yeah, and a lot we've heard from a lot of students from decades and decades who had gotten their first taste of nature education there.
Right. But not long after we recorded that first show there, NIU actually closed the campus. No plans to reopen it. So that's why we're out here again today, talking with a local group that's doing what they can to try to save Laredo Taft.
Yeah, Together for Taft, led by Julie Bassett and a lot of very, very dedicated volunteers. So we'll be speaking with Julie during the show to get an update. And of course, they're always looking for more people. If you have expertise in just about anything, mm-hmm. they're looking for it. But yeah, it was beautiful to be out there. We weren't on the Taft campus. That's closed.
No, we were right across the river. You could see it up on the hill. It was really cool looking.
Yeah, there's like a little restaurant riverboat complex right there. So yeah. They held their fundraiser there.
So we pulled up to their fundraiser along with, of course, our Under Rocks correspondent, Dan Libman. But then in true nature lover fashion, Sue, the fundraiser was doubling as an eagle watching event. So we saw a group that was on the lookout as we pulled up. We decided to join them and see if we could spot a bald eagle.
And it was very, very cold.
Majestic view. Are we rolling? I don't want to save my gems.
Oh, we're rolling. Okay.
Oh, it actually is kind of a majestic view out here. Wait, sure, you're rolling. That was a great observation. It actually is kind of a majestic view.
It is, Dan. Especially that panorama from inside of the restaurant here.
We're on the wooden deck of between Maxson's Manor and the hotel. I don't know what it's called. I think it's also called Maxson's. In any event.
Overlooking the half-frozen Rock River right now.
We can see the paddle boat is docked, I assume.
Yeah, I've seen this boat so many times, but never been on it.
Professor Michael Day with his giant camera.
How's it going?
Hi, Michael.
Dan.
We know you.
Good to see you.
Hello, Spencer.
Radio Zone,
hey,
Michael
Spencer.
Day.
I remember you were in fundraising with us.
I worship WNIU, WNIJ.
In that order? Because,
well,
okay. All right.
I'm a big fan of both. I listen to a lot of classical music, I will admit.
Fair enough.
And
how was the Antarctic before we get to the...
Yeah, we heard you just got back from Antarctica.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have my parka on. National Geographic Explorer that was issued to me and given to me.
Well,
and you know why it's orange? Because if I went missing, they'd have to find me.
Right, and the orange would help?
And the orange would definitely help. It was awesome. I've got pictures on Facebook, and I might print some. I don't know.
And compared to that, how would you describe this panorama? What are we looking at here?
So what we're looking at here, well, there's a hotel there.
Yeah, yeah, look this way.
The river is beautiful, and so is the Laredo Taft campus across the river.
That's the cafeteria.
That's the cafeteria.
Out of the trees there.
And we're looking for eagles, but we haven't seen any. We saw a red-tailed hawk. That's been the only raptor we've seen.
Oh, okay.
But compared to Antarctica, imagine that was five times taller and it was a rock face topped by a glacier, which is kind of all white with blue and with crevices and not much wildlife up there. But in here, there would be icebergs. That would be white and blue, really beautiful.
Obstructing the view.
Aquamarine.
Yeah, that would be
no, but what's
I like this flat.
But guess what was on the icebergs? Leopard seals.
Really?
Oh, cool.
And Weddell seals, and of course penguins. And the penguins like to porpoise up out of the water onto the icebergs, and then waddle around, and then jump off, and
That's
go
delightful.
Back to their hunting for food. Really beautiful animals.
So as a lover of nature and an observer of nature, Kind of like tell us what we're looking over at Taft here. What does Taft mean to you? Why are we trying to bring Taft back? Why don't we just let it go?
Because for many people in Illinois, it is where they came to love nature,
yeah.
Where they came to have an appreciation for natural beauty, for the spirit that goes with nature, and for people who are more interested in ecology and sustainability, when they see and learn how to appreciate nature in a place like Taft with the kind of education that it provided, they then become citizens of the world. They become one with the other people of the planet who are also animals, who are trees, who are fish, who are all the different kinds of wildlife that's around us.
Did you notice how he didn't even flinch when those bitter winds just blew through?
Oh, he's...
The rest of us were dying, and you're used to it now.
I don't even have my wind pants on either, but this parka is pretty good.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
It's
now,
good wind
chill. I live like two and a half miles north, and there's like three bald eagles just sitting on trees just like just beyond the turn of the bend of the river there. Should I send people out to them?
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe on the way back, I'll go by there.
Okay.
Yeah.
What can you tell us a little bit else about what's been going on here today? What's going on? What's the party? What's the mood? What's the vibe?
Well, so the vibe is that we have a lot of momentum and a lot of people who are involved and committed to bringing back some form of outdoor education at Taft, and what we're looking for now is it will take a fair amount of money to make it happen, and what we're trying to do is gather the momentum for funding. So yeah, we've had some excellent talks, a video presentation, and Julie Bassett, who has amazing vision and passion for this, and without whom it wouldn't would not have happened. She gave a very moving speech. And so there's a silent auction in there where people can bid on different items, including gift baskets. I donated a framed photograph of an eagle. And I'm hoping that generates a little bit of funding.
So the mood, people are optimistic that
people are
things
very
are happening?
Optimistic.
Good.
That at least we think we can make it happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
See if these guys.
Thanks
yeah.
so much
Michael.
For talking with us.
Oh, you bet.
Are you on Instagram too? If people want to see some photos from your travels,
they're mostly on Facebook. MDay1 on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for
talking
with us.
It's a pleasure
being out here today.
Here's our eagle.
Oh, yeah?
Here's
yeah.
Eagle Man.
Okay.
So what are you guys seeing out there? What have you seen?
Nothing yet because they're probably conserving energy.
It's pretty cold.
Temperatures dropped since the last couple days, so they're going to be a little more quieter, conserve energy. So
we're with WNIJ Radio. We're doing a podcast about
this. Nice to
all
meet
this.
You guys.
And I'm wondering, could we get your name? And
my name's Gary Van Buskirk. I live in Oregon, and I've been in Oregon about 15 years. I grew up in Rockford. And I've been studying and watching and live streaming eagles' nests and stuff for about 12, 14 years.
Whoa.
And my favorite is the Decorah, Iowa nest over there with the Raptor Resource Project. And that's raptorresourceproject.org. And anybody can look that up on there and find any nest or any kind of bird watching. They're amazing. They have a Mississippi River cam over there that they have set up that watches the migration area on the Mississippi River. There is no actual cams over here, which I'm kind of sad about, because there are four nests. There's a big one down there. It's been there for years across from the golf course, just about a mile down the road. And then there's two of them up this way. So the population of the eagles in this area especially have inclined in the last probably 8-10 years.
Inclined, you say?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Increased, I just, I,
Well, it's so much better than decline.
Yeah.
I just remember from, like, being a child of the 70s, like, wondering, will we still have eagles? And, you know, so in,
right.
your, in our lifetime,
right.
we've
right.
seen...
In my lifetime, I've never seen anything here. And, like, just the last 12 years, it's these nests have become in this area. And the eagles have established this as home. So... the Rock River is a good source for them, and now it's become, like I said, three or four nests in this Ogle County area.
When Taft was open, did you get out to Taft much and do some nature viewing?
Yeah, well, the building up here with the dining hall, see the windows and stuff?
Yeah.
I used to come up there. They had a January Oregon Park District had a sponsor, the Eagle Watch Breakfast. And we used to come up and have the breakfast, and there'd always be an eagle. It's almost like on cue, everybody would get their food and sit down, and a mature eagle would come and fly past the windows there.
Wow.
For 3 years in a row, which is amazes me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like somebody communicated, hey, there's a bunch of people there, you need to fly by.
Couldn't have planned it any better.
Yeah,
eagle
exactly.
Show.
Are you sure they didn't?
I don't know.
Eagle release party?
But that is amazing. When you see them up close, you've seen pictures, you've seen videos, but when you once experience their powerful wings and how huge they are, you get emotional the first time you see something like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of my passion now, and I've always loved eagles. And that experience happened to me where I was in a boat and it caught a fish about 30, 40 feet away from me. And just to hear the percussion of their wings when they're taking off and lifting that fish is just, you can't explain it. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
So.
I love the fact we've got an eagle groupie here. So So if someone wants to see an eagle in our area, walk me through. What do I need to do?
Basically, just you can kind of keep your ears and your eyes open, because that's kind of what I was telling everybody, we were trying to listen, because they will chirp or squawk.
Yeah, they make that little, it almost sounds electronic, that little like, chirping noise.
And then you can pinpoint, and sometimes when you look in the trees, what you'll really see is their white head and maybe a silhouette. Otherwise, it's if you're doing nature walks, you just have to be more aware of, because they're real elusive. They'll hide in the trees. There might be some over there right now. We just can't see them. So I really can't explain it any more than that. Sometimes they'll be flying up high. Just the other day, there was one down by the dam, and I was down there with my dog, and I heard the chirp, the famous chirp, and I looked up, and he was flying over.
Oh, cool.
So,
and you got a good pair of binoculars, it looks like, here. That's an essential tool.
Yep, you definitely have to have something to see. They can see us because they have great vision, but we can't see them.
So as a fan of bald eagles, you are just taking it in. You're not necessarily trying to photograph or...
No, I haven't done other than... A couple pictures I've gotten off my phone, but I don't really get into the photography part. I just kind of enjoy watching and knowing where the nests are, because that's where, if you spot a nest, you're going to see them, because they have like a 5-mile territorial area that they kind of stay in. So you're going to see something. If you see a nest, you're going to see something if you're out every day, especially either in the morning, early mornings, or late evenings. That's when they're active. They kind of stay a little more elusive in the daytime, middle day, and they conserve energy. And if they have to eat, they either do it in the morning or in the evening.
Is this the hottest spot around to see eagles, you think?
Now it is. It's become, being that there's three or four nests in this short, probably 10-mile area, it's become pretty good. A lot of people have noticed that the eagles have claimed their territory here.
29! I'm Wayne Schimpf, and I'm one of the co-founders with Julie, they had another open house for people that wanted to come out and say goodbye, and so I did. I got up and I looked at her and I says, well, somebody's got to save this place. And so the rest is kind of...
You said the magic words. Yeah, yeah. Sparked her interest.
Well, I mean, yeah, because she also knew that I told her I had been the first chief naturalist for the Illinois Department of Conservation, which is now the Illinois Department of Natural Resources.
Wow.
And also had been the first naturalist for the city of Chicago. Oh, wow. And so on. And my wife and I were the 64th and 65th. Graduate students to get their outdoor teacher education major from Taft.
Wow. And, can we ask what year that was?
That was in 1971.
1971, okay.
Yeah.
How has that area changed? Or how has,
well, okay, well, what, back in 71, the trees were shorter, there was less canopy, uh-huh, and so on like that. And so the educational resources there have matured and evolved and so on like that. But the learning opportunities to develop the curiosity as to why this plant grows under this type of tree is still relevant today. Mm-hmm. It's still relevant today to sit around a campfire at night, watch the fires burn, and it die down. You roast some marshmallows. The leader tells a ghost story, and then everybody gets up and does a night hike back to their cabin.
And you can't get that on YouTube.
No,
you can't just get that watching.
No. Right. And it's a great excuse. And with the teens that I work with in Chicago and so on today, out of the Garfield Park Conservatory or elsewhere, are just hungry for this excuse to turn the cell phone off, to turn into something exciting that nature has to offer. So.
Well said. I just want to say for people listening too, you have this really cool medal on, Distinguished Service to Conservation.
Okay, this is the Olympic Medal of Gold, Gold Olympic Medal for Conservation. The first one was given out in 1916. And the third recipient of the award was Aldo Leopold.
Wow.
And in the history of the U.S. in the conservation movement, I was the 65th one to receive it. You have to do a minimum of 20 years of volunteer service in promoting conservation education at a national or international level. It took me 33 years before they decided to award this, you know, to me. So I wear it to get people to ask so I can help educate about the need for conservation.
Not exactly a conservational lightweight here. You know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you for all your service.
How are you feeling about Taft and the progress?
Well,
I'm
very happy about the future in looking at the economic aspects, is that Illinois has a $45 million capital development grant program. So, I mean, if there's a will, there's a way.
Right.
The economic resources are there. It just takes some intelligent planning in order to provide this unique educational experiences to the fifth graders and sixth graders of Illinois. And that's why the Together for Taft organization exists.
That was Wayne Schimpf talking to us on Under Rocks. And a fun fact about Wayne, he told us he actually hosted the first ever environmental-themed talk show in Chicago back in the early 70s. So he said we were bringing back some fond memories, putting the microphone in his face. Thanks again to Wayne. And lastly, we'll hear from the founder of Together for Taft and the one that is leading the vision here, Julie Roloff Bassett.
So it seems like everybody's pretty excited here. It seems like the mood's upbeat and everything like that. What can you talk a little bit about what the goals are specifically? I know the globally we're trying to save Taft. We're trying to get it open again for the public. But what are the steps to get to there?
Okay, well, right now we're doing events to fundraise. Our biggest hiccup right now is fundraising, getting funds. We've got community, we've got vision, we've got support, People want to get behind what we're doing. It's really working with trying to find the funding for it. That's our biggest challenge that we face.
What is success going to look like? Like, how do we know we've achieved this? Are the doors going to open up again? Or?
Well, it's kind of in phases. First of all, I feel like Taft has been saved in terms of, you know, it didn't just get bulldozed when they closed it.
Right.
So we have stopped the trajectory of anything. And I'm not saying that's their plan. I'm just saying that
there'll be no development.
Correct. That the opportunity or the possibilities are still there to move into something in the future. We are creating pre-Taft programming right now. I've through some of the outreach we've done the last month at DeKalb Library a couple weeks ago, sparked a lot of community interest. And part of it is finding, because again, this is all such a learning. All of this that I'm doing is learning. This is not my background at all, any of these things. But Deep Money wants a clear vision. And
yeah.
So our clear vision is to keep Taft what it was, 4th through 8th grade environmental education, working on sustainability at its core. That's what it is, what we see it being. We want to include high school and college, turn it into a flagship site for Illinois, and do global interaction. Two of the gentlemen on our team for over 30 years have worked internationally and have over 50 countries that they work with every year with that age of kids. And that way they can come to Taft, or we could do things through Zoom. Stay firm in the vision is my idea, fluid on the details. And so with that, we are doing pre-Taft programming to help build credibility before we get to the campus. It also will help us with the grant writing, because once we can start doing grants and we do XYZ, then we get money, then they will offer more money. So we're gonna keep it with 4th through 8th grade in the DeKalb area to start with. I'm also working with Stillman Valley High School, their environmental club. We're trying to get something going for Earth Day. I'm trying to teach them action research
at
a little bit older of an age. I said, because what I'm doing right now is project-based learning. I'm a former educator myself for over 20 years. I used to do this with my 5th graders on a different scale, but I'm trying to help them bridge the idea of learning, that this is why you're learning it here at school, because this is real life. This grassroots effort that I'm doing is all about project-based learning. It's having a cause and investigating it, researching it, following rabbit holes, you know, networking, all of it. And so I would like to, by Earth Day, for the high school to have, depending on how many kids actually sign up, either at their library or at the high school, do some sort of community program expression of whatever it is, whether they decide to do podcasts or art pieces or written pieces. Or
let's get some of that energy out there.
Right, yeah. Right.
Have you been out to Taft recently? Do you know, like, could we previously talked about some of the sculptures and stuff out there, and I was wondering, what's going on? Like, who's protecting them? Is it?
Well, that's a very good question. That would take it right back to NIU.
Yeah.
It's closed. It's
right.
They don't let us on the property. That's why we're here. I wanted to walk and talk the property and have funders out there, because once they see the buildings and see what it evokes.
That
you
cabin
know,
that's so beautiful. And,
right,
so
exactly.
So they won't let you on the...
No.
Yeah.
And so I went around NIU and I just started working with the state. Now, that by working with, that doesn't mean we've signed paperwork, anything like that. They have just opened the door. They're listening to me right now. They've given me a punch list of, you know, they wanted to see my business plan. So we made sure we did the business plan. Then they needed to see the business plan financials fleshed out. We've done that. In the meantime, and again, it's all a learning curve, I went through several people that were doing our finances leave our board. And so then it kind of stalls out. You know, it's all about patience, trust, networking, talking to the right people. The state wants to make sure that we can do what we're saying we can do. And so it's a dance. You know, they ask, I come over here, do what I need to do, then and then it's like a volley. Now it's back on their side of the net. And then they said, we need this and they need that. So another thing they asked us to do is they said, okay, now that you got your business plan, this is all great and fine. And we love your vision, Julie. We love what your ideas are and it could really work, but who would come? So now you need to do letters of interest. And so that's where we've been working on. So we do have thus far 13 letters of interest. We have one from Nepal, one from Indonesia. We have several school districts around here. We have DeKalb School District. We got one from RAMP, which shows for disabilities, because I want to work with people of all abilities. We've got them from the Art Guild. We tapped into Francis Parker School, which is where Pritzker's kids went to school. Yeah. You know, and I truly in my bones believe this is going to happen. It's just, I've never done anything like this before. It's really an amazing journey. It really is. If I were to die tomorrow, I would be happy with what I'm doing, because it's like I'm trying to do something for the collective good.
As long as someone picks it up.
Right, exactly. And they will. It's just a matter of time.
But it's heartening to hear that you're getting some positive response from the state, that at least they're letting you work this out.
They didn't shut the door on us. And so that's how I say we have a working relationship, because it's not like, nope, not doing it. We're not doing it. You know, they're like, well, do this. Now do that. And so right now, one of their asks were to, after the letters of interest, it's like, we also want you to have a bank of like $250,000, because in good business sense, people will have some sort of like solid money. And because it's a lot of things that have to go on out there, so we upped it to $500,000, because I thought, okay, as soon as I get $250,000, they're going to ask me for more. So like we're shooting for $500,000. So and the biggest piece being the septic problem out there, that because we had a contractor go out there. All the buildings, from what we have seen, and our contractor, I would say, is like a 7 out of 10 stars. You can walk in and do operations out of them. There isn't anything that's horrendous that would stop any kind of programming.
Okay.
Yes, there are roofs that need to be replaced. We have a 1, 3, and 5-year punch list of importance of what they're doing. I mean, so we're doing all of the work. You know what I mean? We're really trying to show strong business sense. And our board is diversified enough that people have experience in different areas that help carry this forward. But the biggest problem being is a septic thing. Well, the silver lining, because I always try to find the silver lining. The silver lining is that it still works. It's just that it doesn't handle hundreds of students every day. It can only handle like 70 students. Well, so that's 70.
Yeah.
That's a place to start. That's a soft opening to me. That is a gradual. And then once people start seeing, oh, okay, we got people out there, then I really think once the log jam breaks for funding and people are like, oh, it really is happening, you know, it will, it, you know, I just feel like that's what's going to happen. But you know, it again, it's process. I mean, all the fundraising we've done helps us to do another fundraiser, helps us to get the attorneys, helps us to pay for the contractors, helps us to get to the next steps that, you know, because again, I don't know what I don't know. Never done this. I have no idea what to expect. We're going to have to get insurance because we want to do pre-TAFT programming. Well, I got to have insurance for those kids. You know, I'm going to have to pay for it somewhere. I don't have that kind of money. So that's, you know, so that's where a lot of the fundraising will come is coming from too, while we're moving through this and gaining that $500,000. We had people donate some from their IRAs to our account, you know, because we do have the letter of fiscal responsibility, you know, because we're under Caretakers of the Environment International. They've been around for over 30 years. Our attorney, we have two attorneys. One did the 501c3, so that's all legit, and we're all following all the rules from that. We have another attorney that interprets laws, so if there is any kind of written contract, we're not there yet, but we have them on retainer that they can help us, you know, make sure we're moving through it. We see ourselves doing a partial lease of the buildings because there's 12. Good business sense would be to do like three, start with three. But the hiccup comes, and this, I don't know if this is even important right now, is who's going to maintain the other buildings and what happens to them until we broaden, because there's no money in the state. You know, that's really the reality of it. There's no money in the state or federal government. But I knew that going into this. You know, it's like, we just gotta get creative. We just, you know, it's just forcing us to be creative.
How can our listeners you know, join up? What can they do to, they're going to hear this, they're going to be excited to volunteer. How do they find you?
Well, www.togetherfortaft.org is our website. So people that don't do Facebook, we have any way to, we have our phone number, we have our email, and we have a blog, so current events are on there.
Okay.
We're working to find somebody. We would love to have some youngsters in college come and help us with our social media, because that's really, that's to get our name and get the push out there.
Yeah, you need some TikToks.
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing some of them, and I'm
are
like so proud of myself.
Okay.
No, I have no dancing, but you know what, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Anything kind of fun and silly. You know, so there's that. We have our Facebook page, the Together for Taft Community Hub, that has all of our followings and pictures. We're real big into music, my husband and I. And, and what I would love, love, love to do is, they did Farm Aid years ago. Let's do Environmental Aid. You know, let's blow up Environmental Aid and save Taft. And if we could just, I was at a Dave Matthews concert not long ago, sat next to his personal trainer. You know, and it was like, wow, you know, it, you just don't know. It's limitless possibilities. Yeah. It's all about networking, talking to people. We had the fire station over at our house the other night in the middle of the night. What do you think I'm doing right after they're ready to go? Oh, hey, have you heard Taft? My husband's like, you're shameless. It's for future people. You know, it's, you know, we're most of the people that were on this board are retired or close to retiring. This isn't really for us. It's for future generations.
Yeah.
People need to be, you know, I see people so disconnected. Going back to your question, why am I doing it? People are so disconnected and so into their phones. Kids do not know how to communicate. You go into a doctor's office or on the bus, nobody knows how to talk to people anymore. You know, and I want to bring all that back organically. You know, when you're outside and you're around a bunch of other people, you know, you can't help but, hey, oh, hey, what's going on over here? You know, and it nature just brings us back to ourselves. And I need to blow that up. I need to save the environment for that, because people need to get back to that and feel that or remember that.
Thanks so much for listening along with us on another edition of Under Rocks. Sue, that was fun to learn about what they're doing over there, and I really hope this group can get some support behind this cause, because I know we'd all love to see the Taft campus open again and functioning as it's intended.
Absolutely, and we'd all like to see some Eagles, too. Come on, Eagles, get
for
out
sure.
there next time.
Let's thank everyone we talked to that day as well. We had Michael Day and Gary Van Buskirk talking with us about the Eagles, and then Wayne Schimpf telling us a little bit about his story, and of course, Julie Roloff Bassett. Thanks so much to all of them.
Another person to thank would be Monica Hubble for suggesting the story that we get an update on the Taft campus.
Awesome.
So,
thanks so
Monica,
much, Monica.
Yeah, Monica emailed us. How in the world can people reach Under Rocks to suggest great stories to us?
You can be like, Monica, let us know what we should cover next when you email us at rocks@niu.edu. Let us know what we should explore next. Under Rocks is produced at WNIJ Studios by Spencer Tritt, Susan Stevens, and Dan Libman. Thanks again for joining us, and see you next time.